extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here.
From Los Angeles, California, you are listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental Tire, from a nondescript meeting room slash office space somewhere in the Intercontinental Hotel in downtown LA. I'm Andrew Weed with my partner in soccer, David Goss. Gabe Doyle the night off. It is, I don't know, about 2 a.m. Eastern time. And I don't know, he had something to write, he said, Dave. What was it? The U.S. national team, World Cup qualifying roster.
I think he's doing a piece that's previewing the Paraguayan CONMEBOL World Cup qualifying roster or something like
that. Very into that. He is. Charlie's probably asleep somewhere. We said, you know what? Tonight's our night. We were the ones that were there. We were the ones that saw history made. The 2021 MLS All-Star Game presented by Target. A historic triumph. A triumph for our time. A triumph that sends messages through the entire soccer world, certainly through CONCACAF.
A ripple.
A ripple? You don't think it's a torrent?
It's a tremor?
I think it's like a torrent. I think it's like an uncontrollable wave that people can't stand in front of. It is undisputable. Major League Soccer is now the dominant force in this region by virtue of a PK shootout.
Facts.
And a set-piece goal from Jesus Murillo. MLS has elevated itself to the very top.
Jimmy Conrad-esque of Jesus.
Oh, it is just, it's a wonderful time to be alive. It's a wonderful time to talk about Major League Soccer regularly. It's a wonderful time to be drinking Heineken right here in this hotel. We've had a wonderful week. It's been so much fun. It's been great to be back with you. Producer Anders is literally sitting next to us. So if you hear somebody muttering, hey, shut up, stop, rap, that's Producer Anders, and I will continue to ignore him, as I always do. A lot to talk about on the show. As I said, MLS 1-1 drawn in regular time, and then it goes straight to PKs, and Matt Turner is the MVP of the All-Star game. He handles business. A little bit, maybe a preview of World Cup qualifying. Rogelio Funes Mori, stoned, stopped, couldn't get it by him. 3-2 win from the spot for MLS. So just a wonderful week. The Skills Challenge presented by AT&T was a lot of fun. I was at the concert presented by Heineken, got to host that one. Kate Renata, big boy. What else? I mean,
big boy.
Big boy. What else did we do, man? Like, it feels like a blur now. I was completely low on energy. I had nothing left.
Yeah.
These Heinekens are just fueling me right
now.
Boom.
I became best friends with Pavel Pardo.
Yes.
Who was one of my favorite players when I was coming up in my fandom. Love a midfielder who sees.
You know who was ahead of us as we purchased these Heinekens from the bar?
Oh, yeah.
One Jorge Campos.
We didn't even tell you about this, Anders. And as he walked by, I was like, hey, you want to buy us some drinks? And he goes, how much? And Weeby goes, it costs a Ferrari. And he goes, I sold the car. It was unreal. He also finished with all the Mexico fans say, oh, we lost. And he goes, I'm MLS. It was amazing.
Yeah. Also,
he's wearing flip-flops.
I'll say, yes, Jorge Campos wears flip-flops at all times.
Yeah.
Constantly in sandals.
On the 74
bar. He is a man
to
respect. And he knows what's up. MLS is now the better league. It's official. It's done and dusted. Champions League, Leagues Cup, Campeones Cup, all that stuff. That's just icing on the cake. We baked the cake tonight.
You kind of forget, maybe not, I don't know, how many of these Liga MX legends or Mexican national team legends actually did finish in the U.S.? Right, like Pardo, Cuauhtemoc Blanco, Jorge Campos, Luis Hernandez, Claudio Suarez. Yep. And so to see them all here, and then you see Kobe, and you see Eddie Pope, and they all know each other, and you're like, oh, right, all these guys were teammates, which is a really weird...
opponents in massive games.
Right, and then you get to know each other. Yep. You do Adidas shoots together, all that type of stuff.
They bring you in for sponsorship moments.
Right, but you forget that how close they really are associated. Now, I think... in talking to a lot of the, or at least some of the U.S. guys, I don't think they felt that way until later in their career. I think there was a clear, especially from 93 to 2000, probably past 2000.
There was some bad blood.
Yeah, and it was, we are chasing them. We don't like them. They are a rival. And then I think MLS changed a ton of that because you brought Jorge Campos here and you brought Luis, and then like Kobe and Luis Hernandez became teammates and they were so excited to see each other. And... they were massive rivals, 2 years before that happened. So creation of this league definitely brought a lot of that together. And it was cool. It was cool to be in the stadium just to see all the, all the different Liga MX jerseys, all the different MLS jerseys, all the fans, where it's like people are cheering for Diego Rossi, but you heard Sounders fans cheering for Christian and a ton of Cruz Azul fans.
Yeah,
and all
a lot
that.
Of Cruz Azul fans. Yeah. There's even like a Monarcas jersey I saw there. And I'm like, that team's gone.
Yeah. I saw multiple jerseys of former Liga MX RIP teams.
One of the best things, and we'll get to the game, and we'll get to Heineken Rivalry Week, and of course we'll get to Ricardo Pepi, who was the story of the night in so many ways, one of them being that he scored the game-winning PK in the shootout, the other being that his international future was basically hotly debated / reported for the entirety of the evening. I mean, I was on the field doing sort of the pregame of the hosting. Week. Yeah, the whole week.
I think that was the one conversation everyone was having. Like, everyone I talked to, it came up at some point. And it wasn't like, what do you think Julian's going to do? What do you think other guys are going to do? It was just about Ricardo Pepi. It feels like everyone knew it was coming. And we've seen the reporting come out over the last few days. When I landed here, people were not specifically talking about that. But it just feels like with him coming to this game and his star on the rise and the way he's played.
And the urgency of World Cup qualifying. Yeah. I mean, this is the moment. This is if you need him, you call him. If he has to make a decision, if he gets called.
Right.
I mean, I guess the reporting is that Julian Araujo is not ready to make that decision, whereas it seems now like Ricardo Pepi perhaps is. We haven't heard it from Ricardo Pepi. We asked him literally in Monday's show, and he was sort of, he wasn't wishy-washy, but he just wasn't ready to reveal.
Yeah.
And I completely get that. He's 18 years old. He's making one of the biggest decisions of his life. And I wouldn't want to be rushed either, but then you saw Stu Holden go on the broadcast and say, hey, look, he's going to be in the U.S. National Team roster, which we presume is going to be out on Tuesday. TBD, we may do a Twitter Spaces around that one. Doyle, I know, is writing a reaction to it. So we'll see what happens with that. So look out for that on our Twitter channel.
How wild is it that part of it's the Pepi's play. Also, it's just the situation of 2 months ago, there were six players in front of him in that depth chart where it didn't mean Pepi didn't deserve to be in it, but you weren't going to push him into a World Cup qualifier for his first camp when you had DK, had PFOC, had Sargent, and a lot of those guys have gotten hurt. Yeah. And you are in a point where Pepi now is one of the top three forwards in the pool.
And now it's the rise, too. It's the meteoric rise. We'll get to Ricardo Pepi. We will dig into that much, much more. I still want to celebrate this victory right now. We're going to talk Heineken Rivalry Week. We're going to hit the mailbag real quick. Some good stuff there.
Who is your favorite fan at the game?
We're going to go as long as we can, fueled by Heineken here.
When we were leaving the stadium, what did you hear? What was your favorite moment?
I mean, eating the hot dog outside. Obviously, the bacon.
What about the fan coming down the stairs? Hot dog.
Oh, he thought I was an MLS player. There were a couple good moments on that. I got recognized as Walker
That's
Zimmerman.
Not even
this week.
What I'm talking about.
Oh,
it's
wait,
amazing.
What happened?
No, you can tell this story first.
Oh well, on Monday, a guy thought I was Walker Zimmerman, and I took that personally and in the most positive, personal
you
way.
Said.
Yeah,
then this guy was like wanted to take a photo with you because he saw you in the MLS kit. Because obviously, everyone wears their jersey.
Just rolling around with a backpack.
There was the dude who came out of the stadium and was like in anguish because Liga MX lost.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, he's wearing the L3 jersey and he's just like, I was like, please bottle that. Yeah. Bottle that so I can consume it on the regular. Just anguish from an L3 fan.
It was basically 22,000 Rob Lowe's at this game.
Mm.
That's what happened.
But, that's my army. That's my Rob Lowe army.
Yeah, for sure.
I've already put in the order. I said, any MLS gear you make that has the logo on it, I must have it. It must be in my possession. Weachia 2400 here had a nice thing on Reddit. Mexico and Liga MX fans talked all that ish going into the summer and walked away with just the skills challenge trophy. You can have it. You can have it. You can play skee ball. You can have the first touch. We got the good ones, baby. We got the All-Star game. We got Nations League. We got Gold Cup. Maybe we're going to get World Cup qualifying as well. Of course, that starts September 2nd.
The most important one, of course, coming up. Leagues Cup.
Yeah. And Campeones Cup, too. Come on, crew. I mean, we'll get behind you, all right, Columbus? Robert, epicentered on Twitter, said, does this make MLS world champion of soccer All-Star games? And I can find no logical holes in that tweet. I believe that MLS is now the world champion of soccer/league all-star games. And I revel in it. It's a wonderful thing.
Well, Christian Roldan was captain for this game. So I think we can all take a page out of the Seattle book and say we invented winning all-star games against other all-star leagues.
Exactly.
Right? MLS, is that how that works, Anders?
Yeah, I confirmed.
Also, Christian Roldan invented being undefeated in the calendar year.
Yeah, true. Like,
how many times has that happened? I think Doyle put it out. I think his goal differential in 2021 is +38.
Yikes.
+38. That's absurd. That's absurd.
He was playing like a captain. He was playing like it mattered a little more to him at the start. Like it mattered a little more to him. And maybe that was just where he was playing, right? Yeah. Playing centrally. But he was dinking balls down the right wing. He was coming back to take the ball off the center backs to help build out a little bit. Obviously, him and Joao Paulo being teammates that was your only level of familiarity.
Him and Joao Paulo? I mean, this was the Sounders against the Sounders. There were more Sounders in this lineup than there were players from any other team. There were all six Sounders started. Bob Bradley was like, well, if you can't beat the Sounders, join the Sounders, coach the Sounders, manage the Sounders. So this is...
I heard that you went up to him and you said, how are you feeling, Bob?
I would never do that.
I'm feeling better than Brian over there.
I would never imagine doing something like that.
So apparently, you know, we didn't watch the broadcast, but apparently they asked him this during the game on Bob. The sideline. Bob. And he laughed when they asked him about how many Sounders he started. So he knew.
Wow. He was in a good mood this week.
I think, though, that he made up for it by playing Rossi the full 45. I was a little surprised by that. Yeah. Rossi was a late call-in. Obviously, a guy on his team. Atuesta is picking up yellow cards.
What did you think? Atuesta had a rough one, got to say. Between the penalty miss and everything, it was not his best performance.
He assisted on the goal.
He did, but
the rest of it was rough.
Listen, you should have seen the skills challenge. Me and Weeby could serve balls in like that.
Exactly. Just dinking them. Have you been on Twitter? I pound the 5 and the 10. Like, I just back to back. Just bing, bing, bing.
It turns out none of this is that hard.
Exactly.
We are basically skills challenge champions. Yeah,
we could have done it. Rogelio Funes Mori is worse than me. So says Twitter.
Boom.
Yeah. What did you think of, and we'll get to, look, this is, we're sitting around here drinking beers, having a good time after this game. So take it for what you will. We didn't see the broadcast. I was in all sorts of positions all over the game. So I wasn't watching this in a tactical way. You know, I'm not going to sit here and Doyle and act like I care about the tactics. I don't. I care about the entertainment value. I care about the vibe in the stadium. I care about the event, the moment, the memories that people get to make when they do something like this. And that's part of an All-Star game, is having all these people come in from all over the country. All over two countries, to be accurate.
Three.
Okay. Probably more than that if we're going to start really counting here. And sharing something.
Well,
and
that was the fairness, most people were just from LA.
That was the beauty of this week, is that people came here for the first time in about 2 years. We really had an MLS event that felt this way and made memories and connected with each other. And you read all the quotes from MLS executives and from Liga MX executives and the players on both sides. And you can just feel something starting to build. And there's certainly commonalities here, but I wonder what it felt like to you in the stadium. You mentioned, like, who was your favorite fan or what did you see? I mean, you saw people representing almost every club you can imagine on both sides. You saw LA Galaxy fans and LAFC fans sitting next to each other, dogs and cats and, you know, all sorts of things. You saw Chivas and America fans next to each other. You just saw this big gathering of what is, I think, something really indicative of our culture, which is that we're much more alike than we are different, and we're very complementary. And I think the quicker that we realize that, and we're certainly starting to, the more both leagues will grow and prosper. But just straight vibes. The All-Star game itself, you and I have been to a ton of these, Dave. How did it feel as far as investment from fans, investment from players, just the game itself?
I think the speed of game and the way it was played was the best we've seen, because I think you had people who were on a similar wavelength and level. So I think in terms of like buy-in of players and experience, this was one of the better ones I've seen. And it wasn't bone-crunching tackles, right? But like speed of play, they kind of both had similar ideas of what they wanted to do, although we would have liked to see it be more open.
Yeah, like I was going more. I wanted like East-West 9.
Yeah, we didn't see like a ton of 1v1 chances, although Nani did break some ankles late on. In terms of the stadium, I think it took a couple minutes. I think it took a little while for the crowd, and there was a little stop-start at the beginning.
Yeah.
I think it took a little while to figure out like what they were doing. I think the 32-52 did a big job of kind of getting everyone back into the like, oh, right, this is a game. Because in fairness, for a lot of these Liga MX fans, like they hadn't experienced this. What were we rooting for? I've been to a lot of big games in this country where some of the biggest stars around the world come and to watch people react to them, right? Like we were on the field when Marcelo walked on the field for Real Madrid and watching fans react. It is like that when you watch Liga MX stars and Mexican stars in this country. Vela and Chicharito walked down the tunnel past the volunteers, the kids that were helping with the setup for the pregame. And you just hear screams like it's the Beatles and like losing their minds. Funes Mori, the same. He was signing autographs left and right. memo. You just see the hair go through a tunnel, and all of a sudden you just see a crowd of people. And so it was cool that they have that that magnetic ability. And that's what MLS wants, right? That's the sell to bring them in on our side, is this exists and people feel this strongly about it. Even Pepe, who's playing at this level, the way his eyes lit up on Monday when we talked to him about Sambu and about Memo, you can't just replicate that. Like, you can't build that. And so you could feel that in the building, and just to see that for people, and to see it in this unique way. Every time the Liga MX players went to warm up, everyone
stood up, and
everyone stopped watching the game, and they're just recording them just yelling, walking back and forth. Yeah.
Mori, trying to get their attention, These are their idols. And you know, honestly, I saw the other side too. I was with a bunch of guys that were wearing Club America shirts, and Nani was warming up at halftime. And they saw Nani get close to them, and they all stood up and were just yelling, like trying to get his attention. The star power, the wattage, is pretty epic here. Like, and I think it's way better than, you know, Juventus coming in and you don't know if they're going to play their starters. You don't know if their best players are even going to come. Or Arsenal coming in and they're just there to get on a flight the next day. Like, you know, the hotel is full of Liga MX players, of executives, fans, people that want to be here, that want to be a part of this, that are excited by this format, by this opportunity to be on different sides, but the same side at the same time. And that was really beautiful, I thought, in so many ways. And you mentioned Chicharito and Vela. One of the shames that I thought would be maybe more pronounced than it was, but still is a bummer, is that those two weren't able to participate in an on-field way.
Yeah.
You know, you saw Chicharito, he did a bunch of the FS1 stuff, I think. And, you know, Vela was there and he showed his face and did his thing. But, like, imagine if those two start this match.
Yeah, it would have been wild.
Imagine if those are sort of the, like, on both sides, I think that just changes some of the vibes. And I think that's what we'll continue to get in the future, because I truly believe, and they're just sort of the harbinger of this, that Liga MX stars, El Tri stars, they're coming here. Mikel Arriola told us, we got to stop you taking our players. I don't really think that trend is going to stop anytime soon. In fact, I hope that it's a little bit of a give and take on both sides. I hope that MLS is sending some players to Liga MX. I hope there's a more of a inclusive transfer market between the two leagues as their relationship grows. And we all know Leagues Cup is going to grow. We know Campeones Cup is going to get bigger. This partnership is going to continue to grow. And if both leagues are able to be more, let's just say it, financially powerful, bigger, better players are going to come to both, and bigger, better players are going to be moving between the two leagues. And that only draws the leagues together. That only lets Liga MX fans or MLS fans look across the aisle and say, oh, I know that dude's legit, or oh, I have an emotional connection to that player, or oh, I have an emotional connection to that team now. And it allows us to share more and, again, just combine our soccer cultures. We are stronger together than we are apart. It's a fact. You can't debate it. I think we can all see it. Certainly the executive side of all this sees it, and that's why you're seeing these partnerships come together. But I just thought that the fans seemed more invested, because it's easier to find something, somebody, whatever it is, to root for when there's that broad swath. When you have the Cruz Azul fan, when you have the Santos fan, when you have the America fan, when you have the Chivas fan, when you have all these guys that are saying, oh, well, these are my players, so I'm rooting for them. Well, this is my league, so I'm rooting for that league. And on the flip side, the same thing goes for MLS. And then you have the natural rivalry that comes together. And all of a sudden, it just gets ratcheted up. No longer is it like, it's just preseason for fill in the blank European team. Tottenham Hotspur in Denver, yeah, or Everton and whatever, or, you know, it doesn't really matter. Well, now it matters. There is bragging rights on the line. And we had somebody hit us up. Dennis Davis said, would you rather have MLS versus Liga MX or East versus West with home field and MLS Cup on the line? And I don't even think it's a question. I've always thought the MLB thing is, it's a gimmick. Why are we changing the competitive structure based on an exhibition? This is an exhibition. It's not meant to be something that is massively meaningful in a competitive sense in your regular season or postseason or a chase for a trophy that has nothing to do with a bunch of Liga MX players and MLS players coming together for a week and playing next. It's just fun. It's just about having fun. It's about, you know, it's about going to the bar with your friends afterwards and being like, oh my God, did you see Matt Turner stop Funes Mori and get jacked up about it? It's about, you know, being giddy, as I know you and I were, literally jumping up and down when Ricardo Pepi the penalty.
If Pepi hits the crossbar, you're always going to be happy. Yeah, it doesn't even matter who you're playing.
And him saying like, hey, Nahu, you don't want to get that handshake in? Nah, bro, I know you. Step off. How's your calf?
And I said this before, but for me, just for there to be a Mexican All-Star team or League MX All-Star team is unreal. Like, it's one of those things. Every soccer fan watches every soccer league except MLS. And they're like, what would a best 11 look like? What would it look like if all these players came together? The other big injury was APG, which is a huge loss, right? To watch him, imagining him and Funes Mori up top together, would just like the way Monterrey would explode as a city with that. Those were other things that we lost. But there were still huge star power. You said, Rodriguez playing out on the wing. Because just to fit all these pieces together, like that type of stuff was so cool. And I think it was historic for Mexico fans, for Liga MX fans. And I think that's where the interest, like year after year now, because now, next year, now there's like debate for the year across Liga MX of like, who's an all-star?
Yeah.
And you know, that's a conversation that's never had to happen before. And you have best 11, but that's different. And now that's like a new conversation. And is this year one of like, there starts to be a little bit of a history to it, and not like a Tosasiro level, but like, is there a little bit of like something next year because it's happened? And so I think
where Liga MX says we didn't like you celebrating in front of us. We didn't like you like, you know, kind of crowing about it. And we were, I know I was kind of joking. I'm not completely joking off the top about like, we're the better league now, baby. Like we set the marker in the sand.
Well, everyone knows the way that you prove a league is better is can you hit a crossbar from 45 yards away?
That's one time. True. Well, no, after you hit it from 25 a number of times.
Yeah, that's after the you play only ski ball, way.
After you play first touch ski ball and after you hit a bunch of dinner plates that are like tied
that's
into
the only
of the
way.
Yeah, exactly.
That has ever officially been like, this is what the French and the English did in the Hundred Years' War.
Yeah.
This is what the Spartans did with the Persians. This is how you decide things, is hitting a crossbar from 50 yards away.
Didn't they play a Danny Trejo video in the stadium before the game where his last line was, let's settle this now? I mean, is it?
Mano a mano. That's it.
It's over.
That's it.
And I thought that was Dominic Toretto.
I think it goes both ways.
It was Danny Trejo.
Oh, I couldn't hear.
All the word on the street was that like, Liga MX, all the folks here were just like, wow, this is incredible. This is really cool. This is something that we are happy to be a part of. And I think it showed. It was just a fun week. And there are elements, too, of it just like not being around each other and just sort of the giddiness that comes with that.
Yeah, but it was definitely the most all-starry experience of like, this is fantasy football.
Yeah.
It was the closest you would get to that.
It's a napkin at the bar.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you're like, okay, well,
I understand it's a Heineken episode. How many times has he mentioned bar so far? Do we got to count?
Yeah. I don't get to go to the bar very often.
Yeah, I know.
So when I get to sit around and drink beers with my friends, it feels good, all right?
It's in the conference room. We're basically Board of Governors, MLS Board of Governors, by the way, for anyone out there listening now.
I refute that. I'm not on that. But yeah, it was fun.
Okay, so can I take you into a story?
Sure.
January 9th, 2003. A prophecy was stated. A young boy was born from two worlds with one destiny to decide the future of the region. Born with a heart in Mexico, but feet in the United States. His name on a scar on his forehead written Ricardo Pepi. Boom. I just created a new series.
Honestly, I have goosebumps.
You got chills?
I have the tingles.
We got chills.
I feel like that's the opening line of like an epic
Come
novel.
On, dude. We have our first ever MLS Liga MX All-Star game and a kid born on the border, raised in the U.S., watching Liga MX, loving Club America, coming through the FC Dallas system, scores the game-winning penalty
and by the way,
off the crossbar.
Just coming through the FC Dallas system. The epitome of what the ultimate dream is, I think, for really all of us, which is from 12 years old, being discovered, funneled through, developed, you know, going through the full pipeline from, you know, the academy level up to, you know, USL League One, doing his thing there, getting the call up, now his meteoric rise, and just a good kid. Like, sitting down with him on Monday, Sometimes 18-year-olds can be overawed by some of these moments, and I completely get that. Pepi sat down with us, and he wasn't like, you know, he wasn't gonna have like a speech that you're just wowed by, but you could just feel the quiet confidence, the sense of humor, the humility, the idea of like the understanding of like, I'm in this unprecedented point in my life and I've been through so much to get here. And now I have big decisions to make. And here comes a, you know, got to crack another one.
Heineken.
Yeah. Crack open another Heineken.
Here we go. I don't know. It just, and to have him be the one.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end.
Born on Privet Drive in El Paso, Texas.
Really? How did you know that?
Harry Potter.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That was for other people. That wasn't for you.
I was like, wow, you know his background better than anybody. You know the literal street that this kid grew up on.
I've been watching him play soccer for 4 years now. Since he was 14.
Yeah.
I watched him play soccer. I think you told me, I don't remember saying this, that he's the best finisher.
Yeah, you said this multiple times.
That he's the best finisher I've ever seen at his age group.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I still stand by that, and I think that's what you see, right? That's what everyone sees. That's what Mexico is looking at and saying, or El Tri is looking at and saying, this is why we want to get this guy in our camp. Like
hoped they could.
Ooh, baby.
Oh, it was a roller coaster.
Yeah.
It was a roller coaster. So I was doing like the pregame. I don't know what, you know, you're on a jumbotron. You're like, hey, what's up, everybody? And I'm checking my phone in between because the reporting is just coming thick and fast. It's like so-and-so from 2DN on radio says he's committed to the U.S. And so-and-so says, oh, that's not true at all. They're also from 2DN. And I'm like, what's going on at 2DN? How do you not know? There's two of you reporting different things. And then somebody else says, hey, hold on. No decision has been made. Somebody else says, oh, no, I think that's incorrect. And I'm just retweeting, just going crazy. What is happening right
good
now?
Good journalism. Exactly. We've just hitting the retweet line.
You know me, baby. Give me a good MLS rumor or some reporting around a whatever it is, and I'm just like, okay, well, we're putting it out in the world.
One of the first things they put in your contract is you have to put in your Twitter account. This is a real thing. Retweets are not endorsed. Yeah. Representative of
In my Twitter bio, it's just blind retweets. I have no idea what I'm retweeting. I just know I'm interested in it, and you might be too. And it ended up with Stu Holden going on FS1 in the second half and saying, hey, here's news. Ricardo Pepi is going to be on the U.S. Men's National Team World Cup qualifying roster. And then, look, the caveat to all that is, and I know that people really get locked in on cap ties, essentially, is that he won't be cap tied because he's under the age of 21. So he'll have up to 4 games, essentially, official games, to make that decision. He would have to file a one-time switch, is my understanding, if indeed he is going to be in this U.S. roster. And, look, I completely trust Stu Holden's reporting on this. I mean, like, I don't think Stu would be saying it if he wasn't.
No, just, not at all.
If it wasn't lock, stock, and barrel, like, this is the deal.
No, that's something he's been told 100%.
Right.
Yeah, that's the roster.
Yes. So it was a roller coaster. Yeah. At the end, we got to the top of the big hill, and we're going down, and it's wonderful. Woo! Ricardo Pepi hype train. Here we go. Get your tattoos ready.
Ooh.
Get your tats tempting. Ready. Decide the spot on your body you're going to put this thing.
Tempting.
How do you feel about this news? Because after Monday, and I tweeted this and we talked about this, the way he had talked about growing up watching Liga MX, the way he had talked about sort of his idols in that way, the way he had talked about El Tri and his household. And
shaped, I think, personally by just recently reading David Ochoa's piece about why he chose Mexico.
Yeah.
And that being a huge part of him saying, this is what I was raised on. This is what I've always wanted. And Pepi sounded similar. And he talked about, you know, playing with Santiago Munoz growing up and, you know, living that border life. And it was all America and it was all Liga MX. I agreed with you that it felt like if that's the option, he's going that way.
And maybe we were just protecting our hearts.
So mentally, I was like, fine with it, because I've made the argument for Ochoa. He's got a better path for Mexico. For Julian Araujo, I'm not sure that either is lock solid, because there's depth at right back for both teams. But Sergiño Dest plays for Barcelona and is, what, 22? So there's no world in which Julian Araujo steps in and says, I know that there's a pathway for me to be a starter for the U.S., obviously. Now, all of these guys have confidence that they can do it. That's why they are who they are. But it's not super obvious. And then you add in Joe Scally and Reggie Cannon and, for now, DeAndre Yedlin, and I don't know. I'm forgetting people that you guys can name. I'm actually looking at it.
Shaq Moore.
Brian Reynolds.
Yeah.
Aaron Herrera. So for those guys, I get it. With Pepi, I think it's similar for both teams right now in that outside? Well, so for Mexico, everything hinges on Raul Jimenez. What's his health? How close does he get back? If it's not him, it's an unknown position. Hence why Funes Mori got naturalized and why they brought him in. But Funes Mori is at the end of his career. So for the future, it's unknown. It's unknown for the U.S. as well, right? Sargent, we think, is the guy. Maybe DK, whatever. None of them are an answer. So I think there's – he was the one. So for the other ones, I said, it makes sense to me. Like, it is a positive that they're not just picking the U.S. because we are easier to play for, because our team is better than it has almost ever been. Like, that was the way I read that. With Pepe, it was a little bit tough because – he should be able to break into that group. And so you want him to be a part of it. But I'm still shocked that he is picking to come with the U.S.
And look, he has been with the U.S. Mm-hmm. On the youth national team levels. And I one of the things I noticed in warmups, and this is where we get into sort of dangerous ground, I think, because we all...
Oh, do it, dude. Just do it.
I know, but just I just want to caveat it. Because we get into dangerous ground on this because we all want to read too far into everything. And we do an interview with him. Oh, he liked America was his team growing up. Well, clearly he's going to play for Altria. Yeah. Like, it's so much more personal than that.
This is college football.
Yeah. It's so much more personal for that than that for these guys. And it's both about where they feel most comfortable.
Oh, he said he likes Raising Cane's. He's going SEC.
That's it. Done and dusted.
Thanks for the sponsorship, Raising Cane's.
He was out on the field with Miles and with George Bello, and they were just having a good time. And you know, that's natural for teammates. It's natural for young guys who play in the same league who may know each other from youth national team moments or otherwise. But it sort of occurred to me that Ricardo Pepi is not David Ochoa. Ricardo Pepi doesn't have the same experiences or background as David Ochoa. Every person is themselves. And you can't try to, you know, copy and paste one person's feelings or experiences onto another person. And that's what makes this whole dual national thing that will only continue between these two countries and probably other countries too. Because, I mean, Alex Roldan, he's playing for El Salvador, but his brother plays for the U.S., et cetera. I mean, that's the beauty of this country, is that we all come from these wildly different and varied backgrounds. We all have different relationships with, you know, our parents' backgrounds, the countries that they came from, all these different things. I mean, producer Anders is sitting here right here, and you know, he's the biggest Norwegian Sounders American,
huge Emil Forsberg,
whatever the hell he is, fan. Like, that trying to prognosticate based on other people's decisions is a huge mistake. And we just have to welcome the fact that everybody's going to make a decision that's right for them. And that's what I would do. And I wouldn't ask for any, I wouldn't apologize ever. I would do what's right for me, and I would do what's right for my family, and we should expect them to do the same thing. And my hope is that as MLS fans, maybe certainly second for most people, U.S. national team fans as well, but just as people, that we can root for each other in that way. Look, if Ricardo Pepi comes to the U.S. for this camp and he ends up choosing Mexico, there won't be any hard feelings for me at all. It'll just be like, hey, he found the right decision for him, and I'm happy for him. Will I root for him if he plays for Mexico against the U.S.? No, but I'll hope he kicks everybody else's all the way through. Otherwise, it's a beautiful thing for MLS. It's a beautiful thing for our league. It's a beautiful thing for our soccer culture. And I hope there's more of it. And there will be more of it. There will be.
Non sequitur on this, but I keep forgetting, and it's wild. The Golden Boot leader in Liga MX is Alex Zendejas out of FC Dallas.
Oh, that's
academy.
Crazy. Yeah. See, and that's the other thing. When I'm talking about national teams, it's also leagues.
Yeah, 100%.
It's these two leagues too.
No, you talked about with, and obviously Mikel Arriola mentioned of the like taking of players. I think actually one of the things that's interesting to me is as the Rui Diaz has come in this direction, right? Top goal scorers that MLS teams are like
Gustavo Bo as well.
Yeah, we'll pay DP money. DP money can compete with Liga MX. I do actually think Liga MX has started to realize the LGP moves. Of like MLS is bringing in good solid pieces outside of DPs that they can pick off because they're offering TAM level contracts to those guys. And that's where it starts to become interesting, as you said, that give and take, which I think can become closer. And then obviously now you enter this situation where we've always seen the guys from Alianza or whatever go and play in academies in Mexico. Does Ricardo Pepi, does Club America come in for him? And maybe it's not Pepi, but maybe it's over the next 5 years. You're looking at dual nationals who are playing in MLS academies where America looks at it and says, well, rather than get the guy from Colombia or Argentina, why not go get Efra? and it's like similar build, you know, similar build, similar money. We've never really seen that before. Zendejas, well, it did go to Chivas for, I think it was $1 million or something, but it's not the same scenario as what I'm talking about, which we've never seen before, which I think is something that's a realistic possibility. And I know from being around now with the MLS Next events and things like that, there's scouts here.
Oh, they're scouting.
And Eddie Pope was talking about the scouts.
They're scouting.
And he was talking about Germany. I mean, Schalke basically is a college soccer program at this point. Like, they are at everything. But Eltree's there as well. And El Salvador has scouts. And Guatemala has scouts and all of those. So it's interesting. It's exciting. I think the biggest testament of it all is the quality and talent that's coming through. And that's what I think was also exciting for me in this All-Star game was that you had Pepe, Cowell, and Shallowy up alongside each other up front for a while. And you had a back line of George Bello, Miles Robinson, James Sands, and Julian Araujo at the same time. And so this is now this first generation of all-star homegrowns. Players who we're not projecting them to be that good. They are currently that good and deserve to be in this spot and could play at this level where, you know, maybe Juan Agudelo was close, but a lot of guys, we were like, well, this is the pathway. So we kind of put them there before they were ready because this is where they're going. And they didn't know Harry Shipp, right? Guys like that didn't hit those heights.
Put these, the respect on the other ones.
Okay. I thought you were going to try and come back to me on Harry Shipp.
Yeah, well, I figured as a Sanders fan, he'd be like, you wash your mouth out with soap
Champion
when you speak of Harry Shipp.
Yeah. But these guys have already hit that level. And so that was what was cool to see. I would have loved to see Cowell set up Pepe. Yeah. And he had like two or three balls over the top where he was like on full steam. And he is huge. I have not seen him in 3, maybe 4 years, whatever it is. Who knows with COVID what time it is anymore. He is a brick wall. He is I think he physically, outside of the center backs, was the most built player on the field. And he's 18. It is absurd what he's physically capable of, and it's pretty exciting as well. He's also a dual national, one that we don't really talk about.
Yeah.
So you never know what happens. I mean, Robbie Robinson.
honestly, exactly. And that speaks to me what this week is all about and what it really sort of signifies is just this rising tide in our region overall. And it's not just the U.S. and Mexico. We know it's Canada. We know that a lot of these other nations, whether they're having sort of ebbs and flows in their national and team cycles, are getting stronger. And a stronger MLS, a stronger Liga MX will help those countries grow as well, because you will have opportunities for those players to get meaningful reps in leagues that are getting better and better and better. And when you have that, then you start to see the national teams grow as well. MVP of this game, we haven't even talked about
it. I literally just looked at that too.
Yeah, Matt Turner, MVP.
Asa Harvey V says, I just want 2 hours about Matt Turner.
We can't give that to you because we're almost out of beer. and we know that marks the end of this podcast. Once the Heinekens are gone, we go straight to bed.
But just the look on his face when he made the PK saves, like he was so happy about it. And we talked to him on Monday where he was like, I got to go to the skills challenge. I'm just going to get embarrassed. And he made some Matt Turner-esque saves in the skills challenge of just like crazy reaction stuff. But in this, what did he save? 3 or 2 and 1 missed?
2 and 1 missed. Okay. One got just Eddie Johnson skied over the top.
Yeah.
Ooh, wow. I'm sorry. I apologize to Eddie, but that is anytime somebody puts it over in a PK shootout, I unfortunately think Eddie Johnson.
I think of David Beckham.
Oh.
So we both are.
Do you want a side story on the Eddie Johnson PK? I was watching that with my dad. I remember that distinctly. As Eddie Johnson's walking to the penalty spot, I tell him, this is a bad call. They shouldn't let Eddie Johnson shoot. We knew it.
Well,
Love Eddie.
Or you cursed
him. That sounds like confirmation bias. Right?
No, we knew.
That sounds like confirmation bias.
I love Eddie Johnson, but we knew.
Is he the number one? Is Matt Turner the number one? You think Greg Berhalter watched this All Star game and he's like, done. Put it in Sharpie.
I think Greg Berhalter watched this game with his son, Sebastian, and said they shouldn't have let – I don't even remember who missed last.
Yeah, I don't even remember.
I was going to copy that, but I can't. You can also call it a nani for Sky.
I will watch it with my son when I get home, and right before the last one, I'll be like, they shouldn't have let him do this.
And Cam will look up at you and say, Dad, I love this too.
Yeah. God, this is the best thing ever. I'm so happy you're raising me to be a Major League Soccer fan. It's just a wonderful thing.
The number one league in the region. Is Matt Turner the starter for the U.S. national team because of two PK saves in the shootout of an all-star game? Yeah, probably. That's probably how that works. That's probably how that
nets out. It's going to be fascinating to see, though. I think Doyle's right. He wrote in his piece the other day, and I think we talked about this on the show recently. It's probably going to be some rotation.
Yeah.
I think that's a safe assumption. And I think that's good. That's good management probably from Greg, because both these guys have reps. Turner, it seems less with like the first team. But I think you just have to give them both opportunities. And so if it backfires, then you have a decision that's made.
So we said we don't want to read too much into small things. Now I'm going to do it. The way he spoke on Monday with us, I think a year ago or so, we interviewed him and he was like, I'm ready to go to Europe. I have to go to Europe. And it felt like that was, he knew he had to do something. And when we spoke to him on Monday, he was like, I'm looking for what situation's best. I feel comfortable right now. Why change things? And to me, that signaled he felt like he was getting somewhere for the national team and he didn't need to make a change. So to me, that signaled a conversation of you are on the right path. You have a shot at this. And so I felt like that was different. And I felt like that showed that he's making ground up, even playing for the best team in Major League Soccer and winning a Gold Cup. And that's been enough. And so I think we have moved past the Stefan plays for Pep. And that's the end of the conversation. Shout out Charlie Davies. Have a good night's sleep. And I think we've moved into the watching them play and who's giving you what and what you can do. And 100% for this cycle, you don't even have to decide. Like, you have three games in a week. You've got two games, whatever it is. You've got guys in England where you don't know if they can travel now. We don't even know by the time this comes out if EPL teams are letting people travel. What does that mean for championship clubs with Horvath, whatever it is? Plus, you're just going to rotate for games anyway. So I agree that I don't think it's an issue right now, but I do think that what Turner's doing has gotten him somewhere where maybe we thought that wouldn't be possible just because of the notoriety and the names. And shout out to Doyle.
Yeah, I'll give it.
We had a conversation with someone in U.S. soccer after Doyle said that, and they were like, what's going on? Like, is this serious? And that was, what, a year dead and a half
serious.
Ago?
It's been dead serious the entire time.
And he was right?
He was right.
And this is great because he'll never listen to this. So he'll never know this.
Yeah. Wait, he had his full circle moment, though, when we interviewed Matt Turner. If you watched our show on Monday,
yeah,
Doyle was backstage when that happened.
Turner was a Supporters Shield truther.
No, because you said who's more supportive.
Oh, I said, yeah,
oh, yeah,
I said,
your family. I said, yeah,
who's the biggest fan? Like your family or Matt Doyle? And it might be Matt Doyle.
Yeah,
like, I'm not sure Matt Turner's family was like, he's definitely gonna be. He might be. He's probably gonna start in a World Cup. Like,
but
Doyle was out here like, if he doesn't, I'm a riot.
But it was cool. So back to the original point, it was cool. He saved them. He was grinning. He was having fun.
He was having a good time.
He was a part. It was a part of
and
it.
That's
it was
when
his
you feel
chance
that
to
rivalry
shine.
Aspect of it. And they all said it afterwards. Of like, you know, would it be cool to do that and win against fill in the blank European club, which we've seen and have experienced? That was cool. It always was.
Yeah, there would have been nowhere near moments. As much energy for.
Yeah,
this.
But I agree. Yeah. It wouldn't have had the same juice. Because there is all this history and moments of actual head-to-head competition in CONCACAF, whether it be in Champions League or otherwise, between a lot of these players, because a lot of them obviously come from the best teams. That's the way All-Star Games work. The best players play for the best teams generally. And that was really fun to see carry through. Speaking of goalkeepers, we didn't say it in the Ricardo Pepi segment there, but Nahu tried to mess with him. He didn't have any of it. So that's where you start to get like,
come
those,
on, nah,
that's where you start
be
to
better.
Get those little relationships. You know what I mean? Where it's like, well, I've had that experience with you. This isn't just a one-off where like, oh, it's really cool to be playing with, you know, whoever at this point. All the All-Star games are blending together for me. But like,
you've already like trashed half the teams.
Have I?
Yeah, you had a nice little segment
there. Yeah, it was like
20 minutes ago.
I did take it. That was a pot shot at Everton from way back in the day. That was a pretty good one.
I think Tim Cahill scored for them and then came to MLS like 3 months later or whatever it was.
So who we jacking up the Liga MX team?
I don't even know what that term means.
Taking, like, stealing them.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
Oh, edit machine. Well, Jonathan Rodriguez.
Yeah, come on.
What is he, 28? Bring he was the leading scorer. Yeah,
he's like the MVP, right? He's like,
yeah. They won, and Cruz Azul won the title, powered by him. He's played in
snatch him up
Leagues Cup and everything else here in the U.S.
I love that, yeah. Oh, beautiful. Now you're like, he's played in Leagues Cup. I'm like,
well, in fairness, I was there when I watched him play in Leagues Cup, so it sticks in my mind.
So,
I think that would be...
That'd be a good one.
That would probably be one of the big ones from this group of players. I mean, it was...
What if FC Dallas sells Pepe, and then Funes Mori decides that he's coming home, baby?
Oh, yeah, to play alongside Frank O'Hara up top?
Or maybe just by himself.
This is what I'm saying, by the way. Because I know Anders will bring it back up for me of like when Frank O'Hara signed and I was like, they're going to win whatever, everything.
You were a big Frank O'Hara
was, I think, the second leading scorer in Liga MX the year he came from Pachuca. They were a great Pachuca team. They won CCL. He played with Chucky. He played with Eric Gutierrez. He played with Pizarro. He was the center striker of that group. And so there is still a difference in the styles of the league. And so not everyone's 100% going to transfer. Also, he was a little bit older. And I think that's part of it, right? Rui Diaz came here, but also can handle stepping up to the physicality and athleticism of this league because he's in his prime. I'm going to put them in the same sentence because they're the same player. They're not. They're very different types. How'd Rui Diaz do in the Skills Challenge? He doesn't like to get the ball off the ground.
MLS All-Star Champion.
I was with multiple Peruvians.
He's a World All-Star Champion.
I was with multiple Peruvians who came into the Skills Challenge high on Rui Diaz, and then I saw flags put away throughout the stadium. 100%. 100%.
Wow, just folded them up. Yep. All right, let's end our All-Star game sort of recap with this. What was your favorite moment outside of tonight's game? It doesn't have to be like, it was this event. It could just be a conversation you had. It could be seeing somebody. I would say the Jorge Campos interaction from tonight was absolute class. What was your favorite moment?
I never met Eddie Pope before. That was like the one guy growing up that I could put up against anyone for my friends who were Euro snobs and be like, you know, this dude could play anywhere, right? And I was a center back and I loved his game and I knew he would never put a foot wrong for the U.S. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Eddie Pope is great. And we've always wanted to have him on the show to do a story time.
And he has zero interest. And that makes me respect him.
He had interest.
He said that on air when he was contractually required to.
No.
He was like, no, for sure. I'll come on with
your people,
your name I don't know and your name I don't know. Exactly. And I have to go that way.
I'm trying to think what mine would be. I don't know. We've had Pavel before, I want to say, at a previous All-Star game.
We had him in Atlanta.
Yeah. So we knew that he was class in that way. I honestly think for me, it was watching the stadium fill up.
I have one other one too.
It was just watching the stadium fill up. And I kind of joked about cats and dogs and living together in harmony, but it was just a really powerful moment to me to see people that love and follow and live and die by both leagues kind of coming to the same stadium and sharing in that. And I go back to what I've said over and over on this and other things is just like we have so much more in common than we have different. And I cannot wait to see where it takes us. I think that this is something we couldn't have imagined really like 4 or 5 years ago. So what is the thing that we couldn't have imagined now that we're going to be sitting in some conference room or whatever it is in 4 or 5 years and saying, wow, this is incredible. Look where we are now. And reminiscing and being like, hey, remember that one back in LA when all this sort of started, when these leagues came together and everybody started saying, well, yeah, we can go somewhere if we get behind the same wagon. Like
in 5 years, it's going to be Liga MX, MLS combined All-Stars in a match against Venus All-Stars for the fate of the world.
Okay.
We're going to be in a Space Jam situation.
I was going to say, is it Space Jam?
Yeah, who's
the Michael Jordan? I'm not going to.
Also,
dignify the new one. It's the old.
Wow.
One.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we had a yearly segment on this show leading up to this that was basically like, what if they just played a Super Cup where it was Liga MX All-Stars or Liga MX Champion versus MLS? Like
all these things that we've asked for and yeah, wanted and thought happening. About. They're happening. Yeah. Yeah.
It's very cool.
You could argue we made them happen.
For sure. I would.
I said you could.
On that line.
Yeah, you could.
The other highlight was us doing the skills challenge stuff.
Oh, good Lord.
We didn't totally. It is. We didn't totally know that we were coming for 3.5 hours to do the entire skills challenge. And then we ended up doing every single event. I did not have cleats. I wanted to be specifically known. So my shoes were very wide, hence the inability to perform for some of them. But I can go back and look at the tape, and I put up more points than some of the Liga MX dudes on exactly. some of these events.
You don't have to – let's not even go revisit the tape for some of what I did. I just want to say that the turfs that I brought were brand new. I had never worn them before, and I'm going to blame that for the fact that I was whiffing on cross and volley repeatedly.
But you don't have to worry about that because Andrew Wiebe got robbed of them on the street in L.A. because true. He is now a Midwest boy.
Yep. Yeah, Anders is looking at me funny.
Did you not hear this?
We had dinner.
We went and sat for lunch at one of the outdoor places.
Well, it was technically dinner. We just didn't know what time it was.
Whatever it was. And he put the shoes down like on the like fake wall they put up before the so that the road for the road.
Got up
and we went to leave and they weren't there anymore.
They were gone. So somebody got a nice pair of Adidas Turfs, which I hope they enjoy and ball out. And actually, you know what? One of the moments that does stand out to me, and we'll get on to Heineken Rivalry Week right after this, is leaving the stadium tonight, driving away. We saw multiple pickup games of soccer within about a quarter of a mile of the stadium. We saw league games happening within about half a mile of the stadium. And it's just a reminder that despite, I don't know, sometimes the mainstream pushback of certain people in our society and culture, that soccer is extremely ingrained in who we are from a sporting perspective.
Culture, baby.
Culture. Culture. Speaking of culture.
Culture wars with a Z.
Heineken Rivalry Week. That's our culture. You know it. Friday, Columbus Crew, FC Cincinnati, hell is indeed real. 6:30 p.m. Eastern, that's on ESPN and ESPN Deportes. Orlando City follows that up against Inter Miami at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Also on ESPN and ESPN Deportes. Saturday, Atlanta United, Nashville SC, 3:30 p.m. Eastern, Univision, tune in. It's live on Twitter. You can watch that one for free there if you have an account. LAFC, LA Galaxy, El Trafico on Fox, three letters, FOX, Fox Deportes as well. It's 7 Eastern on Austin FC Dallas. Copa Tejas, 8 p.m. Eastern on FS1.
All these games are this weekend?
And Sunday is Sunday, Seattle Sounders, Portland Timbers. And that one is a doubleheader.
Do you just
the Thorns are playing the Rain before, and if you have a ticket, you get into both games.
Do you just unhook awesome. Your jaw and then just use a funnel to just pour
it? I don't know how. I mean, after this week, I'm just going to have to use Thursday and Friday. I'm going to sleep on the plane home, try to sleep all of Friday until the night, and then just somehow
I'm gonna doubleheader.
Get back at it. Which game is the best for you?
Ooh, which game is the best?
Like the most. When I say best, I'm not always talking about quality of soccer, especially in Heineken Rivalry.
You're talking about narrative.
Yeah, entertainment. And narrative is a part of that.
So I don't know if it's entertainment. The one that's whatever. I don't know how to answer your question, but I'm just going to say Orlando-Miami, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, Friday night.
ESPN and ESPN. We know what he wants.
Now, the one thing to point out is Gregory suspended for this one on yellow card accumulation. That's a huge loss. He's the best player on Miami, but you got this winning streak going. You've got a little bit of excitement. Like I even just seeing people here and talking to them from Miami, you could feel something different from what it would have been a week ago if we had had this conversation. So there's something going on there. I still have Orlando as in the MLS Cup contender tier. They haven't proven that to be true for a really long time. Yeah, no one is, though.
I know, but
I mean, look at Seattle over here. They have not been healthy, and they've still been able to produce. SKC lost Pulido but didn't have him for how long. They've been able to produce. The Revs don't have Heal. So I haven't seen that high a level from Orlando, and I still go back to the postseason last year of an inability to control a big game. And like they come and you know they'll compete, you know they're up for it, you know they won't back down, all of these cliches. but how can they dictate how that game is played so that it's played on their terms? And I haven't seen them do that a ton. And so maybe Inter Miami is not the best example of that, but I think it's an interesting matchup at an interesting time.
The obvious ones are obviously El Tráfico as well as Seattle-Portland. I'm going to go a slightly different route, and then we'll get to those two as well. I think Atlanta United-Nashville is a fascinating game. I believe this is Gonzalo Pineda's first match in charge of Atlanta United. And if Atlanta win this game, they will be 2 points back of Nashville. But I know this isn't quite a rivalry yet. It's not Atlanta-Orlando. It doesn't have the built-in bad blood. It doesn't have the dominance followed by Orlando's pushback.
Although it is where Joseph got hurt.
Yes.
Which I don't think there's blame there.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's looking at Nashville and pointing fingers in that sense. But also, a side note, imagine Joseph in this All-Star game. Like, you know, that's a guy that
What do you think his nickname would be? What would we be saying? Would we say something about, like, dads and fathers?
Yeah,
and
probably.
Stuff?
Yeah, that's cool. A pretty big, you know, did you know I'm a father?
I didn't know.
Just making sure.
But what's interesting about this one is it feels like Atlanta started to find a style in their attack. They've been more direct. They've gotten balls into areas that Joseph's more dangerous. And Nashville's just opened the game up. And so, like, this Atlanta-Nashville last year would be 1-0. And I think it probably was, like, because they probably played seven times. I can't remember what the schedules were. Now you're looking at a game where, like, this could be maybe LA-LA, but this could be one of the most high-scoring games of these games, which is totally new. And it feels like Nashville's comfortable in those moments now where you wouldn't have said that in the past. And so if Nashville starts to push numbers up, can Barco and Moreno find those gaps? Can you get Brooks Lennon and Bello into the counter? Like, that's, this game will have speed and energy to it that you just wouldn't have seen under the past managers.
We've been trying to have a conversation for a while now, and I don't think we want to do it today because, one, we're almost out of beer. Two, I'm really tired. But LAFC has been wildly unlucky this year, but the conversation that has been in the rundown that hasn't, we just didn't get to it, is basically, what is this year in terms of Carlos Vela's legacy? What is this year in terms of the LAFC project in general? What happens if their luck doesn't turn? And I say luck because if you go look at expected goals and all the underlying numbers, those numbers say that LAFC are wildly underperforming what they should be doing.
They're second best in the league on goal differential.
XG goals, yeah. And you know, I talked to John Thorrington the other day in the hotel lobby, and he's like, yeah, look. It can be maddening, but we have faith in what we're doing. And I think that's what they have to do and say and get behind right now. But if Carlos Vela can't get healthy, I mean, we're talking about his legacy as well here. He has one incredible year, one very good year, and a lot of sort of injury spotted seasons where he hasn't matched those heights and he's only getting older.
And last year, well, they didn't perform to the level they wanted to.
Until CCL.
Right. But
they fell short, unfortunately.
But even before that, they leaned on the Golden Boot winner, Diego Rossi. He has not been the same player this year. And we've talked about the timeline of when it felt like it was his time to move to Europe. And because of COVID, that's been messed up. And that doesn't mean his mindset changed. How locked in is he? He doesn't seem to be the same player. And so that's now hurt them. They've obviously extended Atuesta's contract. He doesn't seem to be feeling like
Bob's
the same
out of contract
player
this year. It's just like a limbo point. And that's what I say. They're like, they're kind of teetering on an edge.
And because of that, it doesn't feel like the same. There was an element to this group of they could play through anything with anyone on the field and still win. And now,
and Segura tears his ACL. You go back to the timing. It's like,
yeah. But now, even when everyone's healthy and on the field, there's like this weird mental block. So you go from, we could put Marco Arena at top, who can't score and still win, to we've got Vela and Rossi and Arango, and we can't hit the side of the barn. Like, so the mentality of it all feels way different, and it does feel like they're sitting on the edge. And you really want to talk about Vela and all of this. I really want to talk about Bob.
Yeah.
Because, like, I couldn't imagine him not being with LAFC. And now you're looking at it and saying, well, he's a free agent. Who's available? Like, what are the openings? I think it'll be an MLS. But, like, could he leave LAFC? And I, 6 months ago, I wouldn't have even imagined this a conversation. And it could be one that just we're having. But it feels like a possibility.
On the flip side, the Galaxy are trying to find something too. Greg Vanney said after this loss in the Cali Classico, he's like, look, if these guys can't defend the guys on the field, we will change it. There's no Chicharito. This calf thing just keeps dragging on and on and on. And my shrine, and I don't know if I'm not lighting enough candles. I don't know what I'm doing wrong here because I can't bring the dude back.
You know what it is? He didn't buy the Chicharito.
I told him, yeah.
He didn't buy it.
I told you to go in the store and buy the Chicharito All-Star jersey.
We know exactly what it is. You want
for the sacrifice, I should have.
You're not even a fan.
I know, but they're looking for something too. So then Seattle Sounders, Portland Timbers. Honors, you want to give us the spiel on Sounders Timbers?
No, I can't do that.
You can't do it?
It's unprofessional.
There's too much bias associated. Look, it's the best,
I just talked about my Galaxy Shrine.
It's the best rivalry in American soccer, hands down. I don't think you can argue that. So anytime they play, that's what it is. It's like the history, it just matters.
Anytime they play, level. You mean like a week ago, right? Yeah.
It just matters to a different level. Back. Wasn't there a time when Real Madrid and Barcelona played like 6 times in 2 weeks or something like that?
Yeah, and I think Jose Mourinho and Pep Guardiola were managers.
And it was great.
Did they eye gouge each other during that stretch or something like that?
And listen, they were terrible games by the end, but it was because of what it was. It was great. It's the same thing with Seattle-Portland. Because of what it is, it's always good.
You mentioned that doubleheader with Cool. Cisco Kid 50. I couldn't even find the handle on Twitter. Says, probably sick of Sounders. But they may have just invented Cascadia Derby doubleheaders with Portland Thorns playing Rain, followed by Sounders Timbers this Sunday. One ticket gets you both games. So, again.
What were you saying about soccer culture coming together? Yeah. People are probably like, God, shut up.
Soccer City USA, Daniel Shalloway.
Exactly. All right, let's finish with this. Just one from the mailbag, 401-206-0 MLS, extratimeosoccer.com. We'll be back on Monday to wrap up the weekend. That'll be a good time, as well as probably talk U.S. men's national team. September 2nd is coming very, very quickly at this point. The Club Bruges deal for Tejan went down.
I was like, this better be where you're going.
Yeah, we didn't obviously talk about the done deal. It is done. $7 million is the number reported by Tom Bogert first, and Sam Stachel has been all over this one too, so they did a good job reporting this one out. He will be back with the Revs. I believe the deal goes down, and it's like a pre-deal, I think. I don't think it's sealed now.
I thought it was a loan back.
Yeah, but the MLS window is closed, so I don't think they could loan him back now.
Oh, I don't know.
So I think it's a pre-agreement.
But they can sell him.
Yeah, they can sell him. So I think, but then he couldn't loan back. But either way, we should have had that locked down.
Can I just say the only thing about loaning back is you have to register them. He's already registered.
Mm.
So that might be what.
Well, so go read the reporting of Tom Bogert.
Because we will retweet anything.
Yeah, I'll just slam that blind.
Well,
retweet.
Reporting of Paul Tenorio rumors.
Yeah, for sure. We have a question here: is Club Bruges the right move for Tejan? I think we've said it. I think it is. I think it's a great move for Tejan Buchanan. Club Bruges is arguably, if not unarguably, the best team in Belgium. They are going to play in the Champions League most seasons. They have won the league title, I think, for the last 6 years. They have a really, really good reputation for selling players for large amounts of money to the big leagues in Europe outside of, you know, the big four.
Mm-hmm.
They've done that repeatedly in repeated windows, getting guys from, you know, young players, keeping them for a year or two, and then flipping them right on. So I think it's a great place for Tejan to be. They seem invested in him. They seem to believe in him. And as a young player, making that jump to Europe, that's what you need. You need a club that is going to play you, that's going to put you in situations that give you, you know, high visibility and test you. And he will be tested. And that's a great thing. His rise has been a little bit seemingly meteoric in MLS terms. It was just last playoffs that he was at wing back just killing people. Remember when he just worked Nani over, had him super frustrated. Moved out to the wing, and with Carlos Heel gone, the Revs haven't missed a beat, and a large part of that is because Tejan is killing people. Like, he is impossible to stay in front of. And Matt Turner said it. Once he realized that this is what he's capable of, he's very hard to hold back.
Yeah.
So, and this is just recent. Like, just imagine more and more and more of this as he grows into himself as a person, as a player with Canada, with the Revs through the rest of the season, perhaps on a way to an MLS Cup, then with Club Bruges, then wherever he goes next. And the Revs, I believe, have a 10% sell on. So that's good business for the Revs. This is a super draft pick that you were right about. Somebody sent us the clip. I wish we could play it right now, but you were like, yeah, he's good. Look, what if he gets in the Canadian national team? What if he does XYZ? He's going to be an incredible asset for the Revs, who they picked up in the super draft. So And the other one here is from Tyler O'Brien. He says, with Tejan already sold,
I got you.
I'll take a potential player that'll develop in the draft rather than as a homegrown. I think it's the New England Revolution. And if Buchanan can get minutes with the Canadian full national team, is another guy who could be an asset in the future, only 19 years old, that you could potentially sell on later.
Again, I just wish you
just
could
got that
see
saved. Ready to go.
Bobby Warshaw's Cue body right language up. During this whole thing. He's super excited about what I'm saying. But I agree with you. So I think Doyle pushed back a little on Monday. You asked the question about Matt Turner and perception of MLS versus non. And I think Doyle pushed back a little to the point of, it would be nice if Tejan didn't have to go through Club Bruges to get to that place. If we think the point is for him to be sold to a bigger league, of like his production in MLS being enough to get him to Serie A, Ligue 1, or Bundesliga.
I mean, he was at Freiburg, or his agent was.
Right. I'm fine with things the way they are. I'm sure he is as well, right?
I don't really agree with Doyle in that sense. This is the natural way of the world. You see, like, you know, Tejan isn't...
Not from Brazil?
Sure, but...
It's the best league. It's the best league outside of
Europe.
But
the majority of Brazilian players don't get sold for $35 million.
Wow.
There's a huge like, well, ground.
The majority of no one does. But sure. It's not uncommon for Real Madrid to pay $45 million,
but
whatever currency
Tejan
you want to
choose.
Tejan
has been a starting professional player for a year.
Vinicius had never played a pro game, and then he got bought for a record amount from Real Madrid.
We're not Brazil yet.
I get what you're saying, and I'm fine with it.
And it's better business for the Revs, in my opinion, because if Freiburg's going to pay him $7 million versus, you know, Bruges paying $7 million and you get a sell-on, and Bruges wants to sell him.
Mm-hmm.
They want to sell him. That's the whole point. They want to get him and flip him. That's good business for the Revs. And then in the future, if he does get sold and succeeds in the Bundesliga or wherever it is, now you have that pathway. And we hear all the time from MLS executives. We talk about it all the time. You have to prove it.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to prove it. And that takes time. That takes players. That takes success. That takes big moments. I mean, Brendan Aaronson just helped Salzburg push on in the Champions League today. Like, what's he going to be sold for? Like, I don't yet think we're at a point to be like, well, just because you went to the Austrian Bundesliga now means that people don't respect our league. Like, no, that was your starting point.
Yeah, but now next.
Maybe the next one, yeah.
Right, that's what you're talking about. I don't disagree with you. I'm fine with it. I think, again, it's a high level.
They're a Champions League team.
It'll be a good spot for him.
How would they match up against Shakhtar? That's the only question we have to ask.
Yeah, for sure. Anders brought up him potentially being a wing back. And looking back, it looks like Bruges does play with five in the back, so it could be a spot he plays. I don't think so. But also, what's interesting to me about with Carlos Heel out is it feels like he's come in field more. And he's not starting there, but he's been more effective further in. And we saw that for Canada when it was necessary, because he really was the attacking outlet for a lot of parts, especially in Olympic qualifying, but also in Gold Cup. So now it's like, okay, over the next 3 months, how can you add to your game? Mm-hmm. So when you land in January, you are even better of an asset to them than what you are now, and you can immediately get playing time. So that'll be interesting as a way to like watch how he handles the next few months. But I've said the entire time that the New England Revolution want to win MLS Cup, and the move was only going to happen if he was going to finish this year with them. And that is the case. And that's why Matt Turner and DeJuan Jones are going to be here. Like, that is the goal for this club. But as a kicker, being getting $7 million and 10% pay on, sell on to one of the best young players in the region, not a bad little side gig.
No, pretty good. Pretty good. That's it from us, man. I'm out of steam. I got nothing left. Thank you for following all the coverage from the 2021 MLS All-Star Game presented by Target from here in Los Angeles. It's been a really fun week. I don't think we have a destination for next year that I know of.
Wes Burdine says it's going to be in Minnesota.
We're going to the bar?
I don't know. That's what Wes Burdine says on Twitter.
That's my fifth bar reference in this show. Yeah. That's
do you
what's
think
up.
That soccer unites us, or do you think it drives us apart?
I think we have so much more in common.
You do? You think we're stronger together?
I think we're probably stronger together. I'm going to make a guess. I'm just, you know, I'm going to throw that out there. I'm going to just try to manifest that, put it in the world. Positivity, baby. Growth. Other buzzwords that I can't remember
synergy.
Right now. Yes, it is past midnight.
Cleats, beats, and eats.
Yes. We're out of here. Thanks for listening, everybody. Check out MLSsoccer.com. Thursday, whenever this U.S. soccer roster drops, Doyle will have the reaction on that. Maybe we'll jump on Spaces as well. And we'll have full coverage of all the World Cup qualifiers. Spaces before to talk roster, to talk lineups, and then afterwards, the U.S. games, we jump on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. And
we'd like to send you out with a little bit of dulcet tones of me predicting Tejan.
No, we won't. No. Adios, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Player that'll develop in the draft rather than as a homegrown. I think it's the New England Revolution. And if Buchanan can get minutes with the Canadian full national team, is another guy who could be an asset in the future, only 19 years old.